The scripture this morning led me to a title called This Life, a Rocky Pathway. The Appalachian Trail is located in the eastern United States. I dare say any of you that live on the East Coast know about the Appalachian Trail. I grew up in Kentucky. We didn't really know that much about it. It extends between Springer Mountain in Georgia and Mount Kettering in Maine. The trail is about 2,200 miles long, though the exact length tends to change because they reroute the path every now and then. The trail passes through 14 states: Georgia, North Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine. Wow. One trail. How many of you all hike? You grow up hiking? A couple of you, yeah, it's okay. You can raise your hand. It's not a bad thing. Being out, seeing God's country, it's okay to go hike. I didn't grow up hiking. I grew up fishing and hunting in Kentucky. My son-in-law, Justin, many of you know Justin, has a lifelong goal of hiking the entire Appalachian Trail. Now, some people take off from work to do this, and it takes them about 6 months. Justin's not doing that. He's hiking it as he has time. And so far, he has covered all of Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, parts of New Jersey, and parts of Georgia. Bless his heart, because I ain't built like that. Last fall, my grandson called me, Garrett, and he said, Papa B, they call me Papa B, they call Judy QM, I'll let you figure that one out. Anyway, they call me Papa B. And he called me and he said, Papa B, will you go hiking with us? Now, Garrett just turned 16. And some of you know I took a Sunday off because I'm not going to have many more times that I'll be able to do that with my grandson. So I called Harry and I said, I feel like I need to go. So he let me have a Sunday off. And I appreciate that more now when you're the person doing everything, that when I leave and he's up here having to do it all, there's a different appreciation there. But anyway, he let me have that Sunday off, and I went hiking with my grandson and my son-in-law and some of my grandson's friends. Now, I'm a person that's comfortably fit. How's that? Since I got out of the Marine Corps, I don't run. I don't go to the gym. I don't lift weights. So for 35 years of doing nothing, then hike 19 miles. Oh, Papa B, Papa B. It's 19 miles. Most of its level would be really easy. Right. So I said, okay, I'll do it. We were to leave Friday afternoon about 3 or 4 o'clock whenever I could get off from work. We're going to hike 3 miles Friday night, camp, get up Saturday, hike 7 miles, camp, get up Sunday, hike another 6. Or another 9, I think it was. And it ended up being 19 miles. And if you've hiked the Appalachian Trail, they have these little guides that show you the trail, and it shows you elevation, right? But it's not like a car where you just push on the gas. You actually have to climb, okay? Just heads up. It's a little bit different. And so I went out, and I bought a bunch of stuff. I already had a lot of camping stuff, but I had to buy a new sleeping bag and a tent and a few other things. And Justin had an extra pack that he loaned me that I could take. Now, I'm a grandparent. What do grandparents normally do? Huh? Spoil their grandkids, which means we take snacks for grandkids. On a hiking trip, you don't bring it, you don't eat. You don't carry stuff for other people. My pack was 58 pounds for 2 days on my back. And I had chocolate-covered raisins and all kinds of stuff for the kids. And I'm like, Pop-Tarts, bought a whole thing of Pop-Tarts, shoved them all in there. I ain't never doing that again. Because I learned on the trail that, you know, if you fail to pack enough food, that's your problem. If you don't prepare, you don't eat. Halfway through Saturday, I'm giving stuff away. Anybody want a Pop-Tart? How about some chocolate-covered raisins? Anybody? So the kids, some of the kids took it. I, needless to say, was the cat's tail. I was at the back of the group, and my son-in-law took it upon himself to walk with me. I didn't have a heart attack. I made it through that. Many times I thought I was having a heart attack. I made it through the weekend. It was a wonderful experience. But when I went to hike the trail, I kind of expected I mean, I've been through state parks and stuff, and there's usually a path. You know how a path is blazed, and it's kind of easy walking. You might go uphill and downhill, but it's smooth. You know what I mean? It's smooth. It's been graded a little bit. It's not like a sidewalk, but it's kind of been graded. It ain't so on the Appalachian Trail. I'm walking along, and it's rocks the size of double fist on the path that you're walking. At least this is the way it is in Pennsylvania and the 16, 17 miles I ended up walking. And the rocks aren't laying loose. The rocks are actually embedded in the ground. So the whole time you're walking, you're constantly doing this. Because if you don't look to see where you're going to place your feet, you're guaranteed to trip and fall. Have any of y'all walked it? Now, there were a couple places where it was smooth, you know, pine needles and leaves and stuff. But most of the time, you're worried about falling. And there was one time, you got to remember, I'm overweight. I know that. You can laugh. I already know it. Okay? And I got a 58-pound pack on my back, and I'm walking like this, right? Looking at the ground, trying not to fall. And Justin's in front of me. And all of a sudden, I didn't pick a foot up far enough. And I caught my toe on one of those rocks that was sticking up, and I started, whoa! And Justin stopped in front of me, braced his feet, and there was a tree beside the trail, and he braced. Why did he brace? He braced to protect me. He was there to support me so that I didn't fall to the ground. Now, as it turns out, I got my feet under me, and I kind of went beside him a little bit and grabbed the back of his pack, and I was fine. But had he not been there, I could have easily fallen, broken my neck, broken an ankle. That trail is not easy. Our lives are not easy. You know, we grow up in a generation today where people think they're owed things. I'm not going to get into that, but people think they're owed things, and life should be easy, and they should have everything, and they shouldn't have to walk. They shouldn't have to work very hard for it. We had a great trip, but I learned a lot about hiking. The number one thing I learned was what? Don't overpack, yeah. Don't overdo it. Number one thing I learned, yeah, don't need to do this anymore. That's why I have a motor coach. I told him next time I'd be happy to go. I'll be there where you guys get off, and I'll meet you at the end, and I'll have it all set up, and I'll fix the meal. But I don't need to walk like that anymore. My grandson, I mean, I have to tell you one side story. When you pack, you try to take as little stuff as possible, like instant mashed potatoes. You know, you get the little instant mashed potatoes because you can boil some water, dump it in, stir them up a couple minutes, and that's a hot meal. But, dehydrated mashed potatoes are really light. What's Garrett taking his backpack? Let me think. Canned spaghetti and meatballs, canned SpaghettiOs, canned tuna fish, a jar of peanut butter. I mean, I'm serious. And yet, the whole time he's hiking, he's just running along. Oh, to be 16 again. I guess I could have done that at one time in my life. Anyway, the trail is very rocky. Our lives are the same way. Life constantly presents us with struggles, some large, some small. And just like Justin being there for me on the trail, God provides his people to help us. People that are sitting beside you to help you. Many times we don't want to admit we need help or assistance. We just kind of put our head down and push through. I did that many times on the trail. Didn't want to help. Just, I can do this. I can do this. While you can view this life as an individual accomplishment goal, as a child of God, we have each other to assist us. And when we don't take advantage of that opportunity, we are not only ignoring our brothers and sisters, but we're also robbing them of the opportunity to share the blessings God has bestowed on them. Stones and rocks for centuries have been used for construction and destruction. They've been used to build safe, secure homes, walls, moats around castles, palaces, temples, and prisons to keep those that are detrimental to society away from the rest of us. Likewise, they've been used to cause destructions. Large catapults, or more correctly known as mangonels, or trebuchets, were used to send projectiles up to 1,300 feet. Boulders were typically used in these devices to be thrown at castles or city walls by invading armies. So rocks and stones can be used both constructively and destructively. Sometimes it's our perspective that changes the delta of that and how we look at it. What are some of the places in the Bible that come to mind when I say rock or stone? Anyone? Bueller? Stephen was stoned to death. I'm sorry? David and Goliath. That's a great one. Others? Upon this rock I shall build my church. I guess because of being a singer, that one almost instantly comes in my mind. Upon this rock, especially if you use the word rock. Where else? The tomb? The stone in front of the tomb? The story of building on rock as opposed to building on sand, building our houses. Altars. Altars built out of stone. In fact, I'm going to come back to that one. Jesus is the rock. The walls of Jericho. That's, when I think of walls, immediately I think of the walls of Jericho and the trumpets. And the musicians that led that. Not that musicians are better than pew sitters. Just throwing that out there. If you don't know the difference, that's okay. One of the ones that come to mind for me comes out of Numbers 20:11. Does anybody know which one I'm talking about? Moses striking the rock twice to bring water because he's so frustrated with his people. What did God tell him to do? Speak to the rock and water would gush forth to water the people. And the people were so belly aching about every little thing that Moses got so upset with them that he struck the rock. And what was his penalty for striking the rock? He didn't go to Canaan. He did not get the cross in the Canaan. There are penalties for when we don't listen to God. There are penalties when we let others keep us from listening to God. Because we know we should be listening to God. Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. One of my favorites, Luke 19:10. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. How many of you have been to Israel? Do you ever go into Samaria? Do you notice, remember the rocks that just covered the hillside? Can you imagine Christ? Can you imagine Jesus standing there saying, if people hold their peace, even these rocks will cry out. It's a whole different meaning. If you've never gone, it's never too late to go. But the scripture, people always say the scripture comes to life once you go to Israel. I dare say find someone that's been that tells you that's not true. It is absolutely true that these rocks will cry out. We mentioned David and Goliath, one small stone. There's a whole discussion there about why he selected five. Think about that. Remember, he selected five stones out of the stream and put in his pouch. Did he not have enough faith? I'm not going to go there today, but he selected five stones. Judy mentioned altars. The other thing I think of on rocks is Jacob's ladder. Remember Jacob's dream? He came, he tarried for the night, he went to sleep, he gathered some rocks and made a pillow. And that rock was his pillow. And he had the dream of a ladder going to heaven. Remember the angels coming up and down? And he got up immediately and fell on his face because he knew the place he was holy because God was there. And so he took those stones and he made an altar. And he poured oil on it and anointed that place. And what did he call the place? Bethel. The place became renamed Bethel. That's out of Genesis 28. Because of the rocky path we have in this life, which is full of sin, we, mankind, have devised many mechanisms to help us remain focused on God and doing the right thing. Sometimes these are just simple reminders. You've seen several of them as bumper stickers. Possibly the most famous of all was the one that became popular in 1990. You would see four letters on a bumper sticker, WWJD. Anybody remember that? What would Jesus do? To remind you that before you yelled at somebody or before you did something horrible, you would think, what would Jesus do in this situation? It was meant to remind Christians of their belief in a moral imperative to act in a manner that would demonstrate the love of Christ. Another one is the sign of the fish, ictus. Persecuted Christians used the sign of the fish to identify each other that they were believers. During persecutions, one person would walk along in the sand with a stick and they would draw half the fish. And if the other person drew the other half, then they knew they both were believers. If the other person just kind of looked at it, they would just keep doodling in the sand or in the dirt. Because the Christians were persecuted. We think we're persecuted today. We're not even close to being persecuted as they were back then. But they drew these symbols. In the first century, it was an acrostic from Latin, which meant Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. Praying before meals to remind us of God's blessing and our thankfulness. The symbol of the cross to remind us the extent of the gift God provided, Jesus Christ, His only Son, dying so that we might receive salvation. We even use these reminders in worship services as a means of focusing us on worship. One such example is the Apostles' Creed. Many of you will remember years ago, Harry preached a whole series of sermons on the Apostles' Creed. Do you remember that? Where he broke each section out and explained to us what that section actually meant. Of course, I grew up as a Southern Baptist, and we typically didn't recite creeds in church. It was unknown to me. But it's very typical of liturgical, or what you typically call high church. The study Harry provided, I found it rich in theology and a perfect reminder as to what I believe and to strive for to achieve in my own spiritual walk. I'm going to ask your forgiveness because I'm going to do something that I think is needed. When we do these things, praying before meals, reciting the Apostles' Creed, it's not just a matter of perfunctory performing. It's meant to help remind us that this pathway that we're on is rocky and that we constantly need God's support and guidance. So I dare say, when you read the Apostles' Creed, you shouldn't just read it. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day, He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I dare say, the next time we read that in service, I hope you read it with that conviction. It was not written just to be repeated. It was written for a purpose. The purpose to remind us of this life and the rocks that we run into every day. These actions help us through the difficult pathway of living in this dominion, in this domain of the evil one. Well, however, if we are just doing these actions as habits or conditioned responses, are we truly embracing their purpose? The purpose is to draw us into a closer relationship with God and a deeper understanding of His love for us. The pathway of this life is rocky. Many times it contains those deeply embedded rocks which don't move when you hit them with your foot. And as you stumble forward, just like Justin was there for me, God is there to support you and minimize your pain. Without a difficult path and pain, there is limited growth and reliance on God. As humans, we would begin thinking that we can do it ourselves without anyone's help or assistance. Thomas the Train, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. I don't need any help. When we are just going through the motions of worship or reciting the Apostles' Creed, then that is what we are doing. Telling God that we can do it by ourselves. We must humble ourselves and be passionate about every part of worship. And as we are dealing with our everyday lives throughout this week, look for those believers that God has provided to help and assist you. They're along that path. Look for them. Use them. God has placed them there in your lives to help you. My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. For on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let us pray. Our Father, so often we're busily running down those paths, trying to get things done that really don't matter. And we stumble. And we fall because we don't look for those that you've placed there to assist us, to help us. More importantly, we don't realize you're standing there beside us on the path. You're walking that path with us, whether it's uphill or downhill, rocky or plain. You are always there. May we live not only this week, but every week in the rest of our lives, looking for you as we walk that path. For without the rocks, we wouldn't look for you. Without the rocks or the pain, we wouldn't believe that we need assistance. Father, that is not the case. You have given freely of your Son that we might have eternal life. May we embrace Him and may we embrace you there to guide us through this rocky pathway of our life. For we ask this in your name. Amen. O Master, let me walk with thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me thy secret, help me bear the strain of toil, the fret of care. Let's stand together.